Good morning. It is so good and such a privilege to be with you here this morning and to say with you, Christos aneste, anethos aneste, Christ is risen, risen indeed. Such a blessing. I love the hymn that we just sang. Those of us in the preaching profession have a saying, it will preach. That hymn will preach. So if I say nothing today that resonates with you, go back and read the hymn. On this Easter Sunday, our resurrection story is from the Gospel of John. I love each Gospel's story, each Gospel's resurrection story. Each one has some significant detail that is unique to it to share with us as we encounter the mystery of resurrection. I find that John's version is the most personal and intimate, the most embodied in its telling. If we listen closely with the ears of our hearts and our imaginations, we may feel the grass of the garden wet on our feet in the dark early morning. We may feel the cold shadow of the tomb as we look inside. We may feel the warmth of the sun as it rises. We can hear the pounding of footsteps running and the heavy breathing of runners and the weeping of a shocked woman. What smells and tastes might this story hold if we listen with our bodies, our senses, and not just our heads? Garden smells? The taste of tears? What new thing might you see in your mind and heart's eye as you hear this story that may be very familiar to you? Or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. So I invite you to take a deep breath. Exhale, a moment of Sabbath, as JT has been teaching us. I invite you this morning to be aware of how your body experiences the story of Mary and the disciples as they discover the resurrection of Jesus. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance of the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths. It was folded up and put to the side. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Now, they didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. So they returned to the place, these disciples, they returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. she saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, one at the foot. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." As soon as she said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni, teacher." Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary left and went to the disciples and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. I have seen the Lord. What an unbelievable blessing to say this affirmation of resurrection. I long to be Mary in that moment. I long to say that affirmation with my life. I have seen him. Jesus, the teacher, I have seen the Lord. Not just to hear the story and know that in the context of our Christian faith, it offers hope. I long to live Mary's resurrection affirmation with my whole being. I have seen the Lord. What about you? It's not easy to experience resurrection, let alone even think about it as 21st century rational, scientific, progressive Christian people. We hear the story and so quickly we move to, how did that really happen? Did it really happen? Did the writer of the gospel talk to Mary and get a firsthand account? Or to Peter or the other disciple whom Jesus loved? So quickly, we move from our bodies where our imaginations live and our hearts where our emotions live to our rational thinking heads. We have been taught in our yearning for truth to discount our bodies, our imaginations, our hearts, in favor of our minds, in favor of figuring it all out. How did it really happen? What if we learn to include it all? Recently, I heard psychologist and author Brené Brown say, "We are not thinking beings who, also have emotions. We are emotion beings who also think." This helps me encounter scripture, and particularly today, to encounter the story of the disciples and Mary's discovery of resurrection. I need to encounter this story with my whole being this year. And believe me, I first read again and again, the exegetical and theological and homiletical commentary from scholars that I deeply respect. And it was there in those highfalutin scholars that I found the prompt to go back and remember that in reading, I experienced the story with my whole being, body, mind, heart, and soul. Here's what I found as I was listening this week. The gospel stories that we call accounts of the resurrection are really accounts of the discovery of Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection has already happened. We just discover it with Mary and the women of the other gospels and with the disciples. How the resurrection happened? What that was like? Was it bodily or spirit? We don't know. No one was there but Jesus and God. What do I know, though, from experiencing this resurrection, this discovery, living with it, with Mary? What I do know is that Mary knew Jesus had died. In the previous chapter of the gospel, Jesus tells us that Mary Magdalene stood at the crucifixion with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, Jesus' aunt. Mary saw the whole agonizing process. She heard Jesus' last words. It is finished. Completed. She saw the soldier pierce his side to make sure that he had died. She was very likely there when he was taken down from the cross, broken, wounded, and when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body, prepared it for burial, and placed it in the garden tomb. Mary knew with her whole body that Jesus was dead. I'm guessing that most of you know that whole body feeling of shock that comes in a moment of extreme grief, grief of any kind. The rock in the pit of your stomach, your heart that seems to literally ache, the shaking feeling in your muscles. Our bodies, as we hear this story, imagine the shock, the sharp inhalation of breath when Mary sees the tomb rolled, the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. The worst has already happened, but now what? Another body blow of tragedy? Someone has taken the body of our beloved. What else can happen? Our bodies can feel the fear of the disciples as they hear the news and then run to the tomb. Our bodies can feel the giant. What? When the tomb is found empty. And not just empty, but the grave clothes, the winding sheets are empty. And the head covering is separate from the clothes and set aside and folded up. Perhaps we are shaking at that moment a bit from the early morning chill as well as the shock. And then we believe. We believe. We trust somehow. How does that feel? A realization, a chills going down our spine, a calm, a bemused state of wonder as we head back home. What is next? Mary is too overcome with grief to even think what's next. She just weeps. She sobs. Even as she encounters the empty tomb and the two angels, even as she sees Jesus himself, but does not recognize him. She weeps because she knows Jesus is dead. She saw that. She knows in the marrow of her bones. And now she does not even have a body that she can go to and grieve over and say goodbye to. He's gone. We can feel this in our solar plexus, this pain, this grief. And then she hears her name. Mary. And hearing her name, she recognizes Jesus. Teacher? He is not gone. He's not gone. He's here. How is he here? He's here. Imagine for a moment yourself in the midst of a place of extreme grief and shock, and imagine Jesus calling your name. Really, this is not a rhetorical question or invitation. Really, take a moment, close your eyes, and imagine Jesus calling your name. This moment is Mary's resurrection. When she hears her name, when she stands in the presence of the resurrected Jesus, not merely a resuscitated body, but resurrected into a new creation by the power of God's love to conquer death. I like to imagine that she flings her arms around him, the tightest hug imaginable. I can feel that hug in my body. Can't you? And I imagine that Jesus laughs. Maybe they both laugh in joy. They laugh until the tears are running down their faces. And then Jesus says, "Oh, don't hold on to me. I have work to do with God. Go tell my brothers and sisters that I have work to do with my Father, my God, and your God." How hard it must be to let go of the one you love when you feel that you just got them back. That tingles in every cell of my body. And yet Mary trusts that this is not the end. Not the end, but the beginning of something new that has never been experienced before. She trusts. And she goes and becomes the first resurrection preacher, the first proclaimer. "I have seen the Lord." My friends, we too, through Mary's story, are invited to proclaim, "I have seen the Lord." I know that we often do not feel up to the task. The burdens of our times, of our personal lives, weigh us down. How can resurrection even exist? We are immersed in so much bad news. It is hard to hear good news. Anxiety and fear are real in our crazy, crazy times. And I say to you, as one who has stood at the foot of the cross with tremendous grief, believing that the whole of life, the whole world was lost, almost annihilated by the obscenity of death, as one who has stood like this, I say to you, listen for your name. The resurrected Christ is calling you. It is God's purpose of love, not our purposes, as well-intentioned as ours might be, but God's purpose of love that ultimately prevails. God is love. Love is the victor. Death is not the end, wrote Frederick Buechner, preacher and author. Death is not the end. The end is life, God's life, and our lives through God, in God. So, my friends, trust the story today as you have experienced it. Keep bringing your whole selves, your whole being to the presence of God. Trust your body and your heart as well as your mind to know God's presence here in worship. But not just here. Trust that God will meet you as Jesus met Mary in the garden out there in the world. Christos Anesti. Alethos Aneste, Christ is risen, risen indeed. We have seen the Lord. Amen.